inna iya maiya na ga kuana no puna ke anai hale iya mai
Oh my gosh, wow, it's amazing. How does it all happen? It's incredible. Let's go like this. Oh yeah, welcome and thanks so much for staying tuned. You've been just listening to an incredible Jungle Jukebox with the amazing Thomas. He just does a phenomenal job. That must have been a show like 8,962. It's unbelievable. The guy's batting 1,000. If you're just tuning in right now, welcome to the evening programming here in KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. I'm Jonathan Jay, and we'll be back in a moment with Out of the Box. But first, I have to tell you that you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A Kilauea, and that this program is supported in part by some fantastic underwriters, in addition to listeners just like you. We've got a pledge drive coming up, and so you have opportunity to hear more about that in the weeks to come. But I want to thank Kalaheo Chiropractic, Hawaii Gaga, and looks like we got some wave riders coming in as well. So check this out.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Seems like there should be more. How about these guys?
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
You're all set up.
Psst, hey, Dave. Hey, Dave. I can't hear you on the mic, Thomas. Your sound is off mic.
I know.
Okay, all right.
All right, well, you can't hear him whispering, but he's saying faintly in the distance that Dave is not here. Of course, he's speaking of Dave Giroux, my fantastic co-host, host, or I was the sidekick, I'm not sure which. We did the show for several years together, and I still like that guy, and I think he still likes me. So that says a lot. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. I'm Jonathan. This is Out of the Box on KKCR. We got a amazing show lined up for you today. Going to be talking all about Mauna Kea and the events happening not just there but around the world in support of compelling the recognition of the sacred here on this world. And that's a mighty difficult argument to fight against, because like, why would you? But there's a tremendous amount of things going on in the world and on the island as well. For the next half hour or so, we're going to stick to local events, and the phone line will be open at 826-7771. I'm hoping that if you have never called into the show before, you'll have this opportunity to call in and share your views and what's on your mind and on your heart. As the originator of this show used to say, Mr. Michael Vandeveer, Saint Vandeveer now. But 826-7771, if you've never called in before, or if you have any announcements about upcoming events, such as this one. Tonight, for example, there will be at the Kapa'a Neighborhood Library in Kapa'a, there will be a Aha Moku meeting. And that is the Aha Moku councils were formed by act of the state legislature a few years ago, and was initiated under Governor Lingle and then carried through Abercrombie, and now we're into Ige, the Ige era. But the Aha Moku councils are based on the indigenous, customary, and traditional sustainable land use and natural resource practices of the indigenous Hawaiians, the first Polynesian peoples who came here, because what they did seemed to work pretty well for over 1,000 years. And if you look at the state of affairs in Hawaii today, thank you, Dean, we've made kind of a fine mess of it in a very short order of time. So, you know, we're going back to take another long look at what seemed to work really well for a long, long time. And that is the Ahamoku Councils. Every island across the archipelago and every district and in every ahupua'a in each district, people are meeting on the ground and they are making determinations and assessments about what works and what doesn't work, what the most pressing environmental, water quality, soil, land use, what the most pressing issues are, and if they are in accord with traditional, customary, and generationally sustainable practices of the native Hawaiian peoples. And so, and then all of this information gets funneled into the advisory committee, and they report to the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Now, the DLNR doesn't have to do anything what AMAC says, but they have to listen. So this is an open channel for communication at the ground level on every ahupua'a, on every moku, on every mokupuni, on every island, to for you to take a long, hard look at what is working and what is not working in your neighborhood, in your watershed, and get that information filtered down to the state. So tonight, Walter Riddy from Molokai will be giving a presentation. He's been invited by the Puna Moku Ahupua'a Councils, PNAC, here on the east side of Kauai. And he will be speaking about their experiences on Molokai in terms of how they are dealing with and integrating into the Ahamoku system. So that will be tonight at 5 p.m. at the Kapa'a Neighborhood Library in Kapa'a Town. So that will be tonight from 5 to, I think, 7 or 8. Should be a very interesting discussion. And everyone who is interested in stepping up to their kuleana to help restore and revitalize the health of the land, the life of the land, you are welcome to attend. So that is 5 o'clock, Kapa'a Library. And it's a potluck, so it's an opportunity for you to bring some yummy food or some yummy drink and go down and meet your neighbors who also care about things you care about, else they wouldn't be there. So it's a great opportunity to meet your neighbors and the people who live in the neighborhood near you and find out what's going on in your ahupua'a. Do you even know what ahupua'a you live in? Well, this might be a way you could find out. The phone lines are open at 826-7771. If you have any announcements, any upcoming meetings, water board meetings, council meetings, planning meetings, neighborhood meetings, lost dogs, anything that you want, you can call in to KKCR because we are the station that loves you. And, you know, I've been listening to KKCR recently, sometimes late at night, and there are just a phenomenal new cohort of volunteers that are coming into the station. There's all kinds of brand new music shows that are like pretty wild. I've never heard stuff like that before. And I don't know if you've been listening much to the community affairs shows like this one here, but there's the Kauai Soapbox, there's the Songs of Sovereignty, there's a show, Kaleo'o Hawaiian Issues. And the people who are volunteering and producing these shows are really starting to do some amazing work very consistently. And I am just honored and pleased to be a part of that team. So the phone lines are open, 826-7771. Going to play a little music, but please do call in if you have any questions or comments or you want to talk about recent events in the news. You want to make your commentary or add your two cents to the growing number of clowns stepping out of the clown car, the GOP and the Democratic clown car at the national level, running to be the president of the United States of Wasmerica. If you think that that's not a a spectator sport and you think that it really matters and that your vote counts in terms of what happens in presidential selections, call in. If you think that it's a complete crock and a waste of time and that our energy would be better off directed at the local level where you actually can get something done, feel free to call in. There's not a right position. There's not a wrong position. An open door is what we have here. Out of the box is it's not about right and wrong. It's about expressing your views in a way that shares your perspective with other people and allows them to consider something that perhaps they hadn't considered before. So, the phone lines are open. 826-7771. We're going to listen to a little bit of music from the Hawaiian Archive about Mauna Kea, and that's the theme we're going to pick up at the bottom of the hour and probably for the rest of the show. So, thanks again for tuning in to KKCR. This is Out of the Box with Jonathan Jay, and I look forward to your calls.
On the slopes of Mauna Kea, there lives a maiden fair, in a red hole and a smile for you. Aloha, hi-ya, ho.
Views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right, as Mr. Dave Giroux was so terribly fond of saying. And folks, I want to encourage you to call in right now at 826-7771 because the rest of the show may get pretty packed. I think I'm hoping that we'll have some calls calling in, some callers calling in from the Big Island, or possibly from Oahu, where we're broadcasting at 104.7. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on and related to Mauna Kea, and I hope that we'll be able to cover a lot of that. So, and someone's calling right now. Let's see if we can get these things all set up correctly. Get the phone line up. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Jonathan, aloha.
Hey.
I just got back from Mauna Kea on Tuesday afternoon after 3 cold nights up on the mountain.
Yeah, stay freezing up there.
yeah, but, you know, I got to say the energy is so alive up there, and, you know, if you think you're going to get cold, you know, there's guys up there with little heaters and stuff like that, and everyone's, you know, looking after each other, and, you know, I think for me, what I got out of it is, I'm so, full of, thoughts and emotions, but yet so speechless, and I think, you know, regardless of whether...
You know what?
I don't know what, but I can tell you what I know.
Well, so, I was just going to say that those feelings that are so profound that are difficult to put words into, that is okay.
Yeah, no, and that's okay. And I think, you know, regardless of what a person feels about the situation with the TMT or Aloha Aina or anything like that, is everyone should go up to Mauna Kea and have an experience up there because, you know, what I saw was, you know, people who were, maybe one side of the issue or the other, you know, there was a really beautiful dialogue going on there. And it wasn't like, you know, the cops were against the protesters, you know, like, everyone's like, oh, bro, you cold? Come have hot cocoa, you know, come have sign in, no worries, you know. And really, what the beautiful thing, I think, about, you know, the going up to the mountain right now, regardless of how you feel, is that it will re-fortify how you think about the earth, how we respect each other, and how we want to see the future to be. And so if there's not anything else I can encourage people to do, is to go there with an open heart and mind and make sure that they just listen to everyone and tell their stories and listen to other people's stories. And, you know, the issue on the mountain is a multifaceted issue with many dynamics. And, you know, it's not just one issue or another. And I want to just encourage everyone to have an open dialogue and just try to discuss as much as possible, because I think the more that we all realize, you know, all the different layers of the issues here, the more that it really sets us back into realizing how we need to respect each other and how we need to respect this earth. You know, just, you guys all need to go. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
Well, those are all really fantastic things. And if nothing else happens except for the things that you laid out, what a tremendous victory that will be for every single person involved.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's really what Aloha Aina is about. And that's what, you know, we had Earth Day yesterday, and that's what it's all about, you know. And so let's just, you know, remember to love our mama, you know, Mama Earth. And, just Aloha everybody. So thank you very much, yeah.
Got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, they come here from elsewhere with their ideas that they learn from their experiences in their lives, wherever they were in the world. And they come oftentimes to Hawaii and they want to change Hawaii, or they come to Mauna Kea and they want to change Mauna Kea. But what happens if you let Mauna Kea change you?
Oh, you will, I think, be full of energy, grounded in thoughts that you've never had before, inspired in ways you've never been before. And I've never understood, you know, how people, you know, chase after a drug or anything like that. But for me, going up there, the adrenaline, the understanding of the mountain, and just, you know, the energy of the earth is something that forever I am grateful to have experienced. And I really think everyone else should go, because it's a life changer, and it's just an eye opener. So
Not everybody can easily afford to just jump up and fly over there. Sometimes they have family, or they have kids,
have
jobs, or, you know, it costs a couple hundred bucks to get back and forth. But aren't there ways that you can get help if you really want to go?
Yeah. So supposedly, I mean, I was only up there for a couple of days myself, but there are groups of people that are trying to organize funds together for Outer Island guys to go visit. But, you know, I'm not too savvy with all that right now. And, you know, I have a job myself that I have to deal with, so I can't be as, you know, up to date with everyone else. But I know if you guys that are all the Facebookers and all that, like, I know that that's researchable, you know, through that kind of media, and the guys were talking about it there up on the mountain. You know, just come join the family up there. You know, it's a big hui. You know, there's a whole bunch of warriors up there. Just, you know, aloha aina. And I just want to encourage everyone, no matter where they go, what they're doing, you know, regardless if they can make it up to the mountain or not, is to think about the issues, think about the earth, and whatever they do, you know, just you know, think globally, I guess, act locally. And, yeah, just aloha aina. That's pretty much what it's all about. So,
all right. Well, that's really fantastic. And thanks for calling in and sharing your experience. And thank you for being a part of Out of the Box.
Okay. Mahalo.
All right. Aloha. And I think we'll get another caller standing by. Aloha, caller. You on the air?
Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm great, sitting at Kaleo Beach, and this is CZM Doug, the B-man.
Well, you're not the only. You're not the only B-man. You're like a
one
long.
One of the many B-men.
One of the many. One of the many B-men.
Or B-people. Let's go. Let's
okay.
go that way.
All right.
There are quite a few women too.
Sure.
Hey, I just wanted to put a shout out here. There is some testing that's being done on honey right now. We're in the process of collecting the samples.
Is it a kind of test where we can, you know, study up and do really well on it, or?
Well, this is being done through the Surfrider Foundation and a high school student. The high school student wanted to do a test for honey for glyphosate and got hooked up with Carl Berg at the Surfrider Foundation. And now we're asking any beekeepers if they'd like to put a sample of their honey in for this. It's a total anonymous thing. Only you will be contacted if there's an issue. But it will be published anonymously.
Okay.
And if there are any beekeepers out there who'd like to participate who haven't heard about this or want further information, they can call me direct.
All right. And what is your number, sir?
At 212-417-8. I'd especially like to hear from anybody who's on the North Shore because there's so few beekeepers on the North Shore. Or also, we can also, if somebody knows of a feral hive that's a wild hive out in the woods that is semi-easily accessible.
I love the whole idea of feral bees. That just kind of gets me excited.
It does. It gets me excited, too. I mean, technically, all of our bees were feral at one time or another.
If they're doing it right.
If you're splitting your hives, then they're not necessarily feral.
But, no, I mean, if the bees are, you know.
Well, yes, if they're doing it right.
Kind of a birds and the bees thing.
Of course.
But your number once again is...
My number once again, for any beekeepers who wish to have their honey tested specifically for glyphosate, it's the only thing we're testing for right now, and that's 212-417-8.
212-417-8, and that's a number I will repeat later in the show.
You may feel free to. I know there's also a program, if anybody is interested, they would have to contact Danielle Downey, the state apiary person out of Big Island, and she is in the process of getting ready to pull pollen samples from our hives here on the island and test for the pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides.
Hmm.
They are not testing for glyphosate, but they are testing for the RUPs and other things.
RUPs, that's a restricted use
pesticides.
There we go. Boy, and what an education it's been the last couple of years living here on Kauai.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, things are changing pretty fast, and I think we're going to see even more positive changes coming soon.
Well, I hope so. I'm always a big supporter of positive change.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the bees.
Sure.
I mean, one more thing, and I'll finish up with you. If people are not aware, the almond crop in California last year, on average, it takes between 1.7 and 1.9 million hives to pollinate the almond crop alone in California.
Could we call that just, you know, 2 million?
Sure. Let's call it 2.
Yeah, it's easier to remember.
Out of that... That's about half of the entire population of bees in the mainland, or the insane land, as I call it.
Wow.
Last year, they killed 800,000 of those 1.7 million hives by an improper use of fungicide.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of bees.
So that's like 30% of all the bees on the planet were killed off last year, or in the United States, forgive me.
That's like a bee catastrophe.
That's a huge bee catastrophe.
Huh.
When I looked into that further, this is a continual thing that's been happening for years. Anywhere between 28 to 45% total loss in the almond crop, in the almond orchards.
Hmm.
So I'm asking anybody, you know, don't buy almonds from California anymore if they feel so inclined.
All right.
You know,
well,
there are places where you can get them that come from Spain or South America, but the almond people are just becoming too irresponsible in what they're doing.
Well, I know it's gigantic, big money agro industry in California, and I think that they're kind of cornering the almond market on the world. And I also know that in addition to all these bee die-offs that you're talking about, they also use a a metric, what's the right word? An amazing amount of water.
Correct.
Yeah,
and
they're actually, which they don't have because it's a desert, and they're drawing down the aquifer. So the good news is, I guess, is that's not going to go on for too much longer.
Well, that is, I guess, the good news.
Because it can't.
Yeah, the bad news is that they're probably going to continue going, and these issues will happen.
Well, I think if we could all be the change we want to see in the world, there'd be a lot.
Be aware.
Yeah, we would all be a lot happier.
Yep. And only buy your honey from the farmer's market or somebody you know.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, and do keep us in the loop.
Definitely will, Jonathan. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. We've got another caller. Thanks for standing by. Let's see if I can get to you. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Thank you, Jonathan. Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple comments. I agree with what the two previous callers were speaking about.
Well, that's because they're right.
Yes, indeed. In my own personal, you know, my own experience, my life has changed greatly. When one time, many moons ago, I took a youth group to a high elevation, a high mountain in California, probably 14,000 feet. And even though I was used to going to the Sierras and all that, when we really got so close, you know, away from all the light pollution, and I really had my mind blown, my spirit blown by experiencing the stars for the first time.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this, what I'm trying to speak to is the need for balance. And I think that's why I'm really concerned about not just Hawaii, but our entire world situation. It seems that, you know, I would say the majority of people in the world have not really experienced, you know, the full range of our human experience in terms of day and night because of the light pollution.
Oh, I see. So what I understood you to say just now is, so many people live in cities where there are street lights and house lights and all kinds of lights that they're not actually experiencing what night really is.
Well, like, for example, when electric lighting, electricity first came, the artist Cezanne was quite chagrined. He was quite saddened because he knew that would, like, contaminate the human experience, which it has. And that's why I just think that, you know, this lack of connection, this lack of balance from our modern lifestyle is just a total contamination of our human experience. So I think we need to remind our, you know, our local governmental representatives in every meeting just quickly to cite the Hawaiian values. You don't have to go on and on, but just remind their fellow representatives that, you know, things are definitely out of balance, and with any particular issue or concern, that we must make reference to the host culture. And I think that while it's great to have, you know, lots of jobs and all these tourist industries and all that, I don't think a tourist coming here for 2 weeks really can get a sense of the basic Hawaiian values. And I think that much is lost. You know, just as with the bees, of course, we know from all the different studies that not just the chemicals, but the electromagnetic radiation is harming, you know, is throwing the bee populations.
Yeah, it's tricky because there's so many different factors going on that you can hardly even sort them all out and, you know, to say definitively, well, this is from the glyphosate, this is from cell towers, this is from your microwave, this is from your smart meter, this is residual DDT from the pineapple plantations in the 60s. You know, the list goes on. It's like and then there's a cumulative impact, yeah?
Totally, and that's why in my own life I've sought to, you know, clean up my nutritional act, and each week I read two or three books on health and I engage in this dialogue and see what the different individuals say about all these different issues, and I find that within this dialogue, just as we should have with our Hawaiian brothers and our representatives,
yep,
and government and business, you know, something should come out of this dialogue. And I just I really think that we're so out of balance that having a life-changing event such as I had back in the 60s, taking this youth group to a high elevation, and I thought I knew nature and I knew my connection to the universe, and I realized I really didn't. I didn't really understand, and so that has been the thrust in my own life on a personal nutritional level and then a spiritual level. And then the person I always look to is a guy named Henry David Thoreau, who went to live, you know, in the woods because he wanted to live deliberately. And he said, most people live lives of quiet desperation. So his solution was simplify, simplify, simplify.
Wait, wait, wait. I'm trying to write this all down. What was his suggestion?
Well, you know, Henry David Thoreau.
No, but I mean, what was his suggestion for what we should do?
Well, he said most people live lives of quiet desperation. We want to be loved. We want to be affirmed. We want to be this. We want to be that. And that's why he went to live in the woods, because he wanted to live deliberately. He wanted to live simply. And so, like, he didn't drink tea or coffee, so he didn't have to have that expense. He grew his own vegetables. And even though he came from a wealthy family, he went to Harvard. This is way back in the 1800s. You know, so the point is, once you just really cut to the chase and try to simplify your own life, and of course, one touchstone, of course, is, you know, looking at the Hawaiian values and look at their wisdom and the wisdom of all these indigenous cultures, and you will see how far short our present, not just America, but the entire world is like. You know,
the industrialized world.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Well, thank you, caller. I really appreciate your perspective. And I think that we've got another caller standing by. So.
Thank you, John.
Oh, hey, thank you. How about this? Can you hear me, caller?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in to KKCR's Out of the Box. We're talking about a lot of things. Some of them are going to be kind of, you know, spiritual and big picture. But the focusing theme for today is going to be the events transpiring on Mauna Kea and related activities around the world.
Okay. The reason I was actually calling is I wanted to bring to your attention that the Organic Consumers Association is offering discounted glyphosate testing right now for $120. They can test your drinking water, they can test your urine, and they can test your breast milk. And I just wanted you to be able to announce that to people if you go to organicconsumers.org.
So that's organic
consumers.
Organic. I'm writing it slow so that other people who are slow will have a chance to write it down as well. Consumers. .org?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just putting together information, offering cheap testing around the country or maybe even worldwide, and trying to just spread awareness about how much of that stuff there is in everybody's water and in our bodies. So,
well,
something for people to do is if they feel like spending a little bit of money, it's a lot cheaper than what it would be otherwise. So.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in. Your audio is a little bit poor, so I'm going to pot you down, but I'm going to repeat the website that you gave, and that's organicconsumers.org, and this is lower-cost glyphosate testing for all kinds of different mediums. So thank you very much for that. And we've got another caller standing by, so hold on just a moment. See, I'm in the studio all by myself. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Oh, wait.
Renee Hamilton, I'm with Rosetta. We're with the YWCA. We were thinking we could call in and chat about some things that are happening at the YWCA.
Well, you know what? That's exactly one of the prime reasons that KKCR exists as a radio station. So please tell on.
All right. Well, just to kind of give a little bit of background information, that April tends to be a really busy month for the YWCA because it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And we've had many activities, and yesterday was a really good example.
That was the walk a mile in her shoes?
Walk a mile in her. You see the picture on the front page? It was great.
I did not. Is this on the our esteemed TGI Garden Island newspaper?
Yes, yes.
The newspaper of record for our little island?
That's right.
I hardly ever read it.
Yeah. You could go look at the pictures.
Okay, I like to look at pictures.
Yeah, there you go. So you'll have some wonderful pictures of, I think we had about 60.
We had a wonderful turnout, 65 walkers. And, I mean, the guys look amazing.
Yeah. We had representatives from, Kukui Grove. I'll tell you, the Sports Authority guys, I thought, kind of hit it with their red shirts and trying to find the matching shoes.
Well, you know, I hear that wearing high heels really makes your calves look tight.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a little bit challenging for all of them. So, anyway, we're really grateful for the community, to all the men who came out and the women too. We had young people there, and some people who come every week or every year, I should say, to really help raise awareness, to remind the community that sexual assault, domestic violence is not a women's issue. It's everybody's issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen.
And young men, boys are active partners in resolving this problem and are also victims of these types of crimes as well. So it takes all of us working together to really end it in our community.
Well said.
So the other thing that's part of this or another event is our Stand Against Racism, which also happens in April. And that's been going on this week. It's a national program. And people can, we welcome, invite everybody to come into the YWCA offices here in Lihue.
Where are you guys located?
Pardon?
Where are you located so that people who don't necessarily know can take you up on your invitation you just gave?
We're right across from the state building in, like, downtown Lihue.
Okay.
Yeah. Women's Center. You can see our banner right out there. So anybody, like I said, is welcome to come in, sign our little pledge in terms of respecting everybody, taking a stand against racism, speaking up when something is inappropriate or even blatantly racist. And, you know, I think that there's lots of ways to talk about this. I know you were just saying your show is really dedicated to what's happening on the Big Island. You know, so when we talk about race and races, there are a lot of aspects or components that we could look at and really have some positive conversations about it.
Sure, and in the same way that sexual violence is not just a woman's issue,
right.
Standing against racism is not just for people of color. It's for every single color of person, yeah?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have the rainbow here. So.
We really do.
You know, we definitely, I think people could actually learn a lot from Hawaii as well. So.
I think so. And, you know, race relations are complicated in different ways around the world, but certainly the way that different nationalities and ethnic groups interact here is not the same. It's not the same dynamic as it is in the United States.
Right, right. So, you know, the more we talk story with each other and practice aloha, you know, I tell you, if we all really practice aloha, that would, I think, go a long way to addressing a lot of these issues.
Well, like a lot of things, the more you practice it, the better you get. So,
absolutely.
So that's really great. I wanted you to reiterate your prime message here.
So our mission of the YWCA is empowerment of women, eliminating racism, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all people. So in our mission, our local work is really focused on ending the violence in our community that is mostly directed toward women and children, but also, again, you know, as we're talking about men and young boys, absolutely affected by domestic violence and sexual assault. So April is one of the times where we really try and draw attention and do different community events that everybody can come together and just kind of recommit ourselves to doing whatever we can to end this type of violence and all violence in our community.
Well, that seems like a really fantastic idea, and not just a good idea, but something worth doing. And I think also like Earth Day, you know, Earth Day really should be like 365 days out of the year.
Oh, right.
And I think the same thing holds true for the work that you're doing. So I want to thank you so much for calling in and the good work that you're doing in our community.
Well, we thank you. The last thing I'd like to invite the community to, it's a free showing of a documentary that we're having on Thursday, a week from today, at the Kauai Community College cafeteria. The documentary is called The Hunting Ground. And it's an award-winning documentary, very recently released. It's about, it's really putting a spotlight on sexual assault on college campuses and how it is being dealt with, how it's not being dealt with.
Yeah, that's right.
And what we can do about that. And sadly, our University of Hawaii University system, it's not really mentioned in the documentary, but that university system was one of 70 colleges that the federal program was looking into for not following or not doing enough in response and prevention of sexual assault, sexual violence on campuses.
So on their report card, they get a needs improvement.
Needs improvement. So it very much hits close to home. We invite everybody at 6 o'clock at the Kauai Community College cafeteria, and we'll have a panel discussion following that.
Okay, and what day is that again?
Thursday, April 30th.
All right, Thursday, April 30th, the Hunting Ground at 6 o'clock at KCC.
Correct.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, and I'll say hello to Rosetta for me.
She's right here.
Okay. Well, because we talked on the phone, and she said, oh, I'm too shy to go on the radio.
Got to get her over that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and only one way to do, and that's, do as you go.
Right. So well, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling in. That's
right.
It's really great.
Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll come back. I believe we have one of our intrepid KKCR and Hawaii Independent Media reporters and producers calling in from Big Island now. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Out of the Box on KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you.
I tremble
that's the human heart beating like a hammer. And you've got a tune to Kauai Community Radio. This is KKCR, 91.9 on most of the island, 92.7 on Moloa'a in Anahola, 104.7 on Oahu, and 95.1 on cable and streaming worldwide on kkcr.org. Right now on the phone, we've got, I believe this is Donovan Kanani Kabibi, formerly the host of co-host of Songs of Sovereignty with Kaiʻiu, and what have you got? What's going on, Donovan? Bring us up to date.
Hello, aloha. We're up here at Checkpoint Aloha. This is Donovan Kanakabibi, and we're just holding space right now. Things have been pretty mellow. We have some great news that just came in today from OHA. They're going to be putting the matter on the agenda and discussing whether or not they are going to continue their support or withdraw that support. So big ups and thanks to Dan Ahuna for encouraging that to happen and expediting the dates, because originally they were going to try and push it back to middle of May before they would put the matter on the agenda. And Dan Ahuna was able to convince the other trustees that it should be heard as soon as possible. And so the matter is on the agenda, and it will be being heard on the 30th of this month, April. And standing right here next to me, I just want to get I don't want to take up too much time. I want to give the people who have been on the mountain the opportunity to share what's going on up here and what's happening here. Standing right next to me is Hualalai, and again, he's one of the guys who's been here up on the mountain. He's pretty much one of the Alakai, one of the three main guys organizing this whole movement that's happening on the mountain. Lanakila and Kuohi are over on Oahu sharing. And just a little heads up, we're hoping that we'll be able to get these guys out over to Kauai next week. We're trying to put that together. Some folks in the community are banding together to make this trip happen. And so we're hoping that by the middle of next week, through the weekend, the boys will be able to come over to Kauai Island and share their message of Kapu Aloha and Checkpoint Aloha with our community in person. So without saying anything else, I'm going to hand the phone over to Hualalai and let him introduce himself, and you can take over the interview from there, Jonathan.
That's great. And it's also really great news to hear that OHA is stepping up to the plate. I really like to hear good news like that, stand up and take a position. That's very responsible and appropriate. So, but you are calling in right now from 9,200 feet elevation, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Well, please introduce yourselves to our listeners here on Kauai and Oahu and around the world. We're very, very pleased that you have been able to take some time out and actually speak with us live from Mauna Kea.
Yeah, aloha mai kākou. Mahalo for having us on the air. My name is Hualalai Keawiluna Keohuloa. I was born on Molokai, raised on Mokuo Keawe, the big island, by my Nakalai Va'a Ohana. My uncles Shorty and Clayton Bergman are pole navigators of Hokulea Makalii and assist in the other 14 voyaging canoes that now exist in the North and South Pacific. So we're up here at Mana'awa Kea. Everything is awesome. We've been able to step post up here for about, I think, 26, 27 days now, building great rapport and communication and relationships with all authority figures, police officers, DLNR, the rangers in the area, as well as astronomers that use the observatories and the visitor center here, keeping everybody in the Kapu Aloha. And one of the many ways we do that is by feeding and letting everybody come and drink hot cocoa and eat stuff and open conversations, where even people on the opposing side are able to come and sit down without their titles and talk story, so that we can understand each other, which I think has been the main reason why we've been effective.
Well, I think also that the lack of understanding between people is the main reason why there's this unnecessary conflict, yeah?
Oh, yeah, and that's what's amazing, is when the evidence is presented for all to see, then we can make moral decisions, yeah? So we start to realize that it's not just here in Hawaii, but private corporations are wreaking havoc on our natural resources all around the world. So what I think Hawaii has been able to play a key role for the world is that real small island, small tiny island. So when our resources are challenged, the consequence is very close together.
Yeah, it's immediate. You can't screw up for a long time. You got to whoa, we got to fix that.
Exactly. Everything's cut out. So, that really works to our advantage. So anyone with eyes and ears, two legs and two arms, can see it for themselves. And when it's explained in such a way, like I said, they can make the moral decisions for themselves. And it's been happening. I mean, we've had rangers that are putting in their 2 weeks. We have policemen.
Could you say that again? I didn't understand what you just said.
Oh yeah. So it's been working. We have rangers that have put in their 2 weeks.
What does that mean?
That means that they're resigning.
Oh, their two-week notice.
They don't want to be in the middle of these conflicts. The more they understand what's going on and they realize that their position and they don't want to be into it. It's really hard for all of us because, see, that's what we're realizing is, you know, the major tactic that they use all around the world is using family against family.
Sure, know? And also the power of the purse, you know, like no paycheck, no pay, no food, you go hungry.
Exactly.
If you don't know how to derive your sustenance from the land itself, then you're a slave to the market economy.
Yeah, and that's where I think they have a hard time with us too, is because we are all very very self-sufficient here, and you know, our ancestors are able to inhabit the most isolated land masses in the biggest ocean on Earth at a time that most people couldn't swim, and or thought the world was flat, with a population greater than today, before matching Costco welfare and healthcare. So they have quite a situation on their hands where not only are we able to educate people, but the more people are aware, authority figures feel safe enough to step up and say, hey, this is how you can help us remove ourselves from this situation. It's been very interesting lately. So we have, sounds like we have another 3 weeks, no construction.
Oh, yeah. So I heard that there was 1 week delay, then another week delay, and then an indefinite delay, which sounds great to me. But you spoke about something a little moment ago. You said you were speaking about Kapu Aloha. Maybe you can explain to the listener who, you know, maybe has heard those two words, Kapu and Aloha, and doesn't understand how they fit together. What is Kapu Aloha?
So Kapu Aloha is actually a very amazing concept that was placed upon this movement by Antipua to keep us in check. So Kapu Aloha, basically practicing aloha, nothing but aloha. But also Kapu Aloha isn't just, you know, opening our hospitality to all people, but it's also kind of that discipline that a father might give to his child, or that education that a father or parent might give to a child before it crosses the road. You know, look both ways before you crossed. Or you didn't cross the road before you didn't look both ways before you crossed the road. Let me sit you down and teach you about it.
Yeah, explain it to you again.
Yeah, but it also teaches us to stop before we say things and think about what we're gonna say. So when the rage or the uncertainty or the insecurity arises, the Kapu Aloha kind of keeps us in check and makes us, you know, whatever we're gonna say has to count in the spirit of aloha. So
no angry words.
No angry words.
No fighting. No fighting back. No calling names.
No calling names. We even detour debate because that's an argument in itself. So just, yeah, all positive, all love. So whenever we get anybody, we get a lot of people because when you see the images on social media of the arrest, a lot of people show up very passionate, which is beautiful. But at the same time, passion can turn into aggression. And so, but we allow people when they come, a lot of people cry. Some people, you know, shout out, but we'll surround them and we'll start singing to them. Or we'll start chanting and we'll surround them. We'll hold our hands on them and we'll support them and try to direct them. They're processing in a way that will make them feel that they don't need to outbreak anymore. Because what we realize is that a lot of us, I mean, speaking for myself too, is that we just haven't been heard. Yeah. And when you have a buildup of several generations, if not many, of not being able to be heard, I think that's why people yell.
Yeah, well, the last 250 years hasn't been such a good exchange between the Polynesian peoples and the rest of the world. So,
yes.
Yeah, we've had a lot of healing to do from all that.
Yes, very much so.
I think it's really fascinating what you guys are doing, and it's not just intellectually exciting to me. It actually moves me emotionally. And I say that as someone who has a deep and abiding affection for astronomy and the amazing discoveries that Western technology has afforded us in the last several decades in my lifetime.
Yes.
You know, these large astronomical observatories they have allowed humankind to see billions of light years into space and understand things that we never knew before. But this new telescope, you're saying, is not the right telescope and not the right place. You're not against astronomy. So how help people understand what you're for?
Okay, and that, yeah, just to clear that, clarify that too, it's we're not against technology either. We're actually very technologically advanced. We had flushing toilets, electricity, and telephone before the White House. But it's how you apply that technology that's important. It's not the telescopes. Personally, I walk across to the visitor center and I check out those telescopes. They're little telescopes. They're awesome. You can see Jupiter. You can see all these moons and stuff. It's the excessiveness and it's the uninclusiveness of the people. It's the process of which they're putting the telescopes that I think we have a problem with. It's more of a respect thing. I think if it was, if we all got together in the beginning and we were included, we probably may have maybe one or two very good telescopes to use, and all that information would be shared with the world. But in this case, it's kind of like an industrial complex where you got your Costco's and your Walmart's, and then in between you might have your little Ace Hardware franchise people, but they're all competing against each other. So it's more of the respect. It's more of the way they're going about it. It's not the technology that we oppose. One thing, though, I will say is that in my own personal experience, I believe that we were created with eyesight that we can just barely comprehend. When I'm standing here on Mauna Kea, I'm looking at the terrain. I see cinder. I see fauna. There's fowl, and there's all these people here from all different cultural backgrounds. And I could sit here for the rest of my life, and with this eyesight that I have now, I'd spend the whole time trying to understand what that is. So point is that when you're looking into outer space, billions of light years, you got to be careful because there's a lot of explosive things happening out there. There's binary star systems, there's black holes, there's supernovas. And I'm not saying this for everybody, but I do think that it causes insecurities for some of these scientists. They get really very afraid, and they start living in this situation where, like, oh, we got to create this laser beam that'll blast an asteroid belt as it comes and collides in Earth. And what happens is we're so focused in the future, so far ahead of time, that we're missing the moment that we're living in as we speak. You know, we have children, we have communities that are existing as we speak. And it's just an opinion. But so I think that with technology, there's definitely a place, because writing is a technology, thinking is a technology. It's just excessiveness and how you apply it. So your pro got to outweigh your con. And that's how I look at it.
Well, there's information, there's knowledge, yeah?
Yes.
And then there's wisdom.
Yes.
Which is like how to use that knowledge or how to use that technology appropriately. And, this TMT, this proposed TMT, this is not your grandfather's telescope. Yeah, this is like...
No, no.
This is 18 stories up and then 4 stories down in the ground. It's a 5-acre facility. They talk about putting it on the top of the mountain, but the fact is there's no room on the top of the mountain.
Yes.
Because there's already more than a dozen facilities up there already. So the location that they're proposing for this is literally over the top. And just so that people understand what a 30-meter telescope means, that means it's 30 meters in diameter. And a lot of Americans have no idea what a meter is, but it's like 96 feet. It's almost 100 feet in diameter, and it's 1.5 times the size of an NBA basketball court. So so this is a big bucket of light.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the Keck telescopes that are up there right now, the twin telescopes that operate. Yeah, it's amazing. They operate together. They have fiber optic cable, and they take the information, the light, from both of the dishes simultaneously, and they do some really crazy math with it and combine that information. And that was a cutting-edge facility when it was built, like 10 years ago. That was $140 million, that facility.
Oh.
But the TMT is $1.4 billion.
Yeah.
So this is really, really big science.
Yeah,
but...
Yeah.
But it's not as big as it is, as many billions as they have. It's not a 30-meter telescope is not as big as a 10,000-meter temple, which is what Mauna Kea is from the bottom of the ocean to the top of the peak.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's one thing that people, you know, especially archaeologists that are hired by the TNT, is they'll say that there's no cultural significant sites in the area. But what people need to understand is that the Mauna itself is a heiau. Heiau is to capture and ensnare. Au is current. So that's the atmosphere that we're talking about.
Say that again.
Hei is to capture and or ensnare. Au is current. So and that's the atmosphere, yeah, that the Mauna is ensnaring.
Interesting.
Heiau, yeah, a lot of people don't know what the word means. So we even have a heiau in the canoe. It's our mast step. It's what harnesses the wind and distributes it to the canoe. But the point of that is that so the whole mountain is a heiau.
Because it captures the wind and the and the essence of the mana of the spiritual power of the life force of this amazing planet that these astronomers are looking billions of light years away for. But we already have a planet with life on it, and we're standing on it.
Yes, and what they need to understand is that. If there's no foot trails, no ahus, no temples on the mountain or any building construction at all, it doesn't mean that we didn't use it. It just meant it was even more sacred. It was so sacred that we didn't touch it. And where they're building is right in front of Pu'u Poliahu. And Poliahu, you know, we call her our snow goddess, but when you look at the name Poliahu, it's actually the action of all these elements, like the lightning and the atmosphere and the rain and how that turns into snow itself.
Can you stay with us right now for just a moment or two? We have to do the top of the hour station ID business, but I would love to get back and have you explain again about Poliahu. Can you stand by with us?
Yeah, no problem.
All right,
Thank you. Fantastic.
I just want to tell folks that you're listening to KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. That's KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A Kealoha. Coming at you on all different kinds of channels, 91.1 or 91.9, 90.9, 92.7, 95.1, streaming around the world at kkcr.org. And we're going to do a little station ID right here, like this. Oh, I got the wrong button there. It's this.
Umaloa, K284AF. KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
And the Out of the Box is supported and made possible by listeners just like you in partnership with Hawaii Life and the Tahiti Nui.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kaz's Welding, island-wide mobile welding service. Home and commercial fabrication, auto and truck repairs, whatever needs welding. You can call Kaz at 346-9805 for more information or to hire his mobile welding services. Kaz's Welding proudly supports KKCR.
And thank you so much to Kaz's Welding, the Tahiti Nui, and Hawaii Life for your generous support of KKCR. It's support like that that helps keep our community radio not just alive, but thriving and able to do what we're doing right now. We're speaking with one of the, would you call yourself an organizer, or how would you describe yourself?
I would describe myself as just a community member. We're just people showing up to the mountain with a common goal, and we come from all around the world, so that's how I would represent my position here.
All right, well, that sounds great to me. I love talking to human beings. Please reintroduce yourself to listeners who maybe did not catch your name the first time.
Okay, my name is Hualalai Keawiloluna Keohuloa, born on the island of Molokai, raised on Mokuo Keawe by my Nakalai Va'a Ohana. My two uncles are Clayton and Shorty Bertelman, pole navigators of Pokulea and Makali, and assist in all 14 voyaging canoes existing in the North and South Pacific.
And how did you come to Mauna Kea? What brought you to the Mauna?
What brought me to the Mauna, it's our family, everything our family does, building canoes to the stone that we use to carve our canoes, come from this Mauna. It's our pico, it's our genesis. And in fact, we feel like it may be everyone's. We have one of the biggest mountains in the world, 14 or 140 Mount Everest is fit here. So we're starting to see a lot of other things arise as far as our role as on Earth. That's what brings me here is just our family responsibility. We depend on this mountain. It's the district we live in, so our water that soaks into the top of this mountain trickles down and feeds our entire community, all living beings, all the way down to the ocean. So it's a must that we stay here and stand for our mountain.
Yeah, well, if there was no mountain, there would be no water, because the rain clouds would just continue to roll right over the empty ocean.
Yes. Hawaii is amazing. It's the word ha and vai and e, it's almost like, I think they really acknowledge that in the middle of the Pacific, you had those resources available, which allowed us to, again, have a population greater than today before mass hospital welfare and healthcare.
maybe you could explain what ha and vai, what those words mean.
So in our language, ha is not just the breath, but it's the breath of the creator. We believe that because we all breathe oxygen, that's why we are all related. And vai is the water, but vai isn't just water. It's also wealth and well-being. So when you put those two together, and then you can really see, the language kind of tells you what the environment does or what opportunities you can have in these places.
So a moment ago, you were speaking about Poleahu, and for folks who don't know, Poleahu was one of the many sisters of Pele, and explain her qualities and characteristics and why there is a Pu'u Poleahu on the summit of Mauna Awakea.
Okay, I'm probably not, the best guy to explain it, but I'll do it I'll do the best I can. So Poleahu is one of many sisters, and when you look at Mauna Awakea and the deities that the Hawaiians worship, they actually have functions. So I know a lot of people get mixed up with mythology and anthropomorphism, and they kind of just think we make stuff up and worship all kinds of random gods, but really Poleahu, Pele, when you look at the stories, the mo'olelos, there are the actual happenings in the environment. So Poleahu is a combination of, all the lightning, the rain, the temperature. It's all the actions that causes snow. And so with Poleahu, the pu'u itself, so the mountain, when you look at the peak, the arrow points of our mountains, we visualize those as kane. But Poleahu is a pu'u, it's a crater, and that which receives. So basically, Poleahu is the conduit of which causes or where the snow will arrive on top of our mountain. So it's not only something that what we have done, and I think what all humans have done in the past, is they will anthropomorphize the element so that humans with the growing awareness can try to relate to that element or understand what that is. I don't know if that made any sense.
No, that makes perfectly good sense to me, because what I understand with these different stories about Poleahu and her, being on Kauai and having her heart broken and then moving to the Big Island and stuff, is that there's a lot of wisdom and scientific observation that is embedded within these stories that explains how things came to be and how they came to pass. And so, to me, it's not just entertainment. It's actually the embedded cultural wisdom of generations of scientific observation.
Yes. It's interesting you say Kauai, so like, and Poleahu. So those are the things that would make me try to understand, basically what that might mean to me is that you look at Kauai and the Big Island and us being an isolated landmass in the biggest ocean on Earth, where winds and clouds can travel with nothing in its path until it hits the island chain. Although there are more atolls north, Kauai is kind of the last, you know, island with a higher elevation, which is the other end of the archipelago of the Big Island. So when our weather systems are the same and they contour around our island chain, and they probably meet. I can see the relationship of the atmosphere. Even like Pele, when she travels across from Tahiti, you could see it as the plates moving and the lava, you know, making its way and creating islands, kind of things like that. And so when you look at Poliahu and her sisters, like Lilinoe, like the mist.
Yeah,
like,
Lilinoe is the goddess of the mist, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And and how she, you know, arises to meet with her other sisters and do what they got to do, whether it's make rain, snow, or frost. And I think it's more fascinating, too, and when the elements have names, because you look at our language and I don't really see any nouns or subjects. It seems like all the words are verbs and they're moving. And when elements have names, they're like people. And people we can talk to, we could have a relationship with.
Well, that's actually a key thing that you bring up there is relationship. I know a lot of times in the West with the contemporary or Western scientific tradition, they examine things in isolation. They look at one thing and they look at the next thing and another thing. Like if you take a human being, you cut them open, you label all the parts, and then you say, you know, there's a person. But it's not the same as a person because a person is alive.
Yes.
And so it's not just the kidney, it's not just the toenails, it's the living relationship that all these things have to each other. And I think that one of the things that is so beautiful and precious and rich about the Hawaiian traditions is that they seem to focus a lot more on the relationship between things rather than just the things themselves. And it's the relationship that gives meaning to all the things in the world. So I'm just a student of this, but to my growing understanding, it's like a more profound, it's a deeper level of understanding the connection of things to each other.
Yes, no, totally. And I like thinking about the language a lot because to me it doesn't really give definitions, but it gives a path to the observer to create an understanding or a connection to what it's looking at. Like I look at the word pohaku, and like you said, the Western comprehension will just kind of dissect it to a rock.
Oh, it's a rock.
Yeah, but if you look at po, and you look at ha, and you look at ku, you can spend all day on the genealogies of where those roots came from. So it doesn't mean rock, but it gives you an avenue to relate to what you're looking at. And that really, it's kind of awesome because that everybody has a different perspective of what that is, but when the person decides to engage in that, I really think that our language is trying to give us that access that we have this capabilities of actually using these things that we're looking at to not to our advantage but to enhance our awareness of how we go about our experience as spiritual beings and physical carriages of consciousness.
Oh, that's really a lot to contemplate, and I think there's...
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say I really love the way you think and talk to, because it's not... You can't always have these kinds of conversations. I mean, we come down the mountain sometimes, and a lot of these fall upon deaf ears. I think now it's changing a lot quicker, but you've personally blown my mind in the last few minutes also.
Well, you know, I'm just keeping the chair warm for other people here in the radio station. There's a tremendous amount of work that goes into putting this all together, and I'm blessed just to come in and sit down and, you know, Donovan put this call together. You've been on the mountain for how long now? The Hawaiian people have been sustaining themselves in the middle of the ocean for how many thousand years now? So my job is easy. But so here's a question. Where are we going from here? Because it seems like, you know, the TMT had a big head of steam and they went through all their legal processes and they went through all their this and that, and they cut a couple of corners, but then they felt like they were all ready to go and like start construction. But you have gummed up the gears. You're like, oh, you know what? Time out. Got to rethink this. We got to rediscuss this. Where are we trying to go?
That is a good question. I think what's happening is, we're realizing by being next to the mountain that we're able to reflect its qualities as far as just standing firm, but also being unmovable, even if there are obstacles, destruction or whatever. And, you know, honestly, I think we could talk about, you know, rebuilding nation or creating a new, you know, nation of people from all around the world. But I really think, personally, it's giving us an opportunity to just be pono, you know, to be pono, so that when we pass, when we cross over to the other side, when we transmute our physical bodies, that we can look up at that sky with our last breath and know that we fulfilled our lives and we did what we needed to do. I know that might be kind of far-fetched, but I really think that, you know, being up here is showing us that there's so much more than this economic, you know, delusion that we've been caught in for so long, and that we have an amazing capacity to dissolve all this stuff that we've been doing, and just evolve on a whole other level of living here on Earth in harmony with all living things.
Well, you know, scientists, astronomers, they scour the heavens looking for signs of intelligent life on other planets that might sustain life. And, you know, newsflash, we got one right here. And
yes.
It is in peril, you know.
Yes.
It is in peril, not just in one or two or three or 25 places, but, like, across the board.
Yep.
You know, we have economic systems that pretend that the economy is more important than the environment, and they seem to have to be balanced against each other. Well, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's like our mom is still sexy and beautiful. I mean, she's still alive, and why replace our mom with another one just because we don't know how to appreciate the one that we have? I totally agree.
Well, plus there's no other planet within striking distance, so we've got to make do with what we have right here. And, you know, as far as the economy goes, you know, the economy can go up, the economy can go down. But if you don't have an environment, you don't have an economy.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I think is just crazy, is these guys are wreaking havoc and running amok on all our resources. And they won't even be able to have control of an empire if they destroy that of which their empire is on top of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the empire, the living world that we live in. And
yeah.
It's also interesting to me because I love astronomy. It's one of my most passionate things that I care about. Art, astronomy, and architecture, those are things that really drive me. But, you know, these astronomers, they're looking out into deep space. Well, what would happen if they turned those telescopes around and looked into their own hearts?
Nice. And, you know, it's funny you say that, because when we're up here, you know, I'm just one of many voices, but I try to tell people I'm not up here to battle the TMT. I'm not up here to battle Pohakuloa. Like, it's the battle is inside. And if whatever defects that we see outside, if we change that within ourselves, then the outside will change.
I think that you are exactly correct. I don't think the final frontier is out there. I think the final frontier is inside each and every one of us, and it's trying to discover our own humanity and then to recognize and appreciate that same thing within others. I want to thank you tremendously for coming on the air and sharing some of your wisdom and your cultural understandings. It's really a delight, and it's extremely educational. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you guys, too, and if anybody's out there, we just want to mahalo everybody for helping us. I know everyone's been helping from all around the world, so we send that aloha all to all of you. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Well, what do you guys need the most right now? What's the next point?
The next point, really, like what we've been telling people, prayer is, and intent is more powerful than we give it credit. But right now, we're good. If anybody really wants to help us out, we do need satellite telephones.
Yeah, right?
We would like to have, more ability to you know, do video editing and stuff up here because we're having to drive up and down. So just we've been looking at a 15-passenger 4x4 van so we can eliminate our carbon footprint up here because we've been coming up in numbers and we're very aware of that, and we don't want to be shooting ourselves in our foot. So just stuff like that. But other than that, we're good. We're good. Open conversations like this is awesome. Information is awesome. Anything about enlightenment. But other than that, what we've realized is we're kind of in an asking shall receive situation here on Mauna Kea. So we ask for duct tape. We have more duct tape than a hardware store. We ask for tents. We get more tents. We have more inventory than a gas station. So right now we're trying to be really careful about what we ask for. So we're good right now. Cooked meals, I guess, would be the best thing. Free cooked meals. iPono, non-GMO, juice, and other than that, though, we're excellent. So we really just prayer and intent would be great from everybody. Yeah.
Well, my heart goes out to you, and from the bottom and the top of our pu'uvai here in Kauai, moku kalani po.
Nice.
Yeah, you get full support. And you know, nothing against astronomy. I love astronomy. If you guys can just, what I see happening and what I'm so excited about is that you are forcing the scientific community to recognize the sacredness of the land that you stand upon.
Yeah, and a lot of it is because of the same fascination that we do have with astronomy. I mean, it's astronomy is sacred too. It is so sacred. Like you said, all of that what we see outside is inside. So there, and that's why we want to make it really clear that we're not against astronomy. And like I said, I wouldn't even necessarily even be against telescopes either. It's just the way you're gonna apply that to a sensitive environment. That's our biggest concern. You know,
sure, you cannot scour the heavens searching for life while you trample it beneath your feet.
Yes. That's awesome.
Is Donovan still there? Does he want to make some other kind of statement?
Yeah, he is. And mahalo nui one more time, and love you all, and you guys all have a beautiful day.
Oh, hey, you have contact information.
What is our main website? Do you guys anybody know? Anyway, if you want to get a hold of me, hualalai.
Mauna Awa Kea.
Was it?
Stand
for Mauna Awa Kea.
And Sacred Mauna Kea Hui.
If you do want to call Ground Zero, though, here and contact me, my number is 640-5910. You get a direct line.
Okay, 640.
640-5910.
59110. All right, thank you so much for speaking with us. Really appreciate that.
Welcome. You folks have a beautiful day. Aloha.
Hello.
So you are our contact, our connection, our intrepid reporter there at 9,200 feet elevation. How is the air treating you?
Air is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's been cold at night. It's dry. There's absolutely no humidity at all. And so it's nice though. Actually, the air is really good. The weather's been really nice and dry. And other than the cold at night, not a big deal.
What kind of support or assistance would you appreciate or be able to make use of?
You know, the community here has been overwhelmingly supportive of this camp and group, and every single day, every single hour, people from the community have been coming up with warm food, drinks, supplies, clean towels, you name it, anything and everything that you could imagine being dropped off here has been being dropped off. We got delivery of propane today and batteries, so it's really nice to see the kind of support that's going on. Me personally, I don't really have any needs. The camp has basically provided, and the community has provided, for everything that this camp has needed to be sustainable and self-sufficient throughout the duration of this occupation on the side of Mauna Awa Kea.
Well, it sounds like you guys could use a little broadband connectivity and some editing suites.
That would probably be the realm of you know, the limitations of the realms of what we would need. The desire has been expressed that we'd like to get a little better, more powerful radio station so we can listen into the various radio shows that are happening around the island. People have talked about getting some really good walkie-talkies so we can communicate from the different checkpoints and vantage points while we observe the road and watch the road. It's really active, almost a precision activity that we've got going on here with staking out the activity of mountain and keeping an eye on the traffic that's coming up. We have several different posts set up, and people are taking turns in those strategic points so where we can see down the mountain and keep an eye on the road. So, you know, things are happening. The mountain's not entirely quiet. TMT have hired a 24-hour surveillance security team, mountain security team, which are on the construction site 24 hours a day. They're normally staying inside the car because it's a pretty harsh environment up there.
It's cold at 14,000 feet.
Yeah, but they've maintained a 24-hour presence on the construction site. Anytime anybody approaches the area, the security guards will come out and approach whoever's coming up and talk and find out what they're doing.
And then you guys give them some cocoa and tell some jokes, and then they're like, oh.
Sometimes. I took a drive up there this morning just to kind of observe the scene and see what it looked like, and the guys were up there, and as soon as they saw the car coming up the dirt road, they all got out of their cars. We didn't get too close. I stopped kind of far away from them and took some pictures and just kind of observed what was going on.
Did you flash them the shaka?
Of course.
All awesome.
And a big pearly white smile.
Yeah, you're good like that. Do you want to give a station ID?
You're listening to KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for supporting our radio station. Everybody who's listening, we appreciate your time and effort and energy. And we hope that you continue to do so. And if it wasn't for the support that we get from our community over at home on Kauai, you know, this valuable resource that we have wouldn't exist. And ultimately, just like what we see here happening on the mountain with Checkpoint Aloha, our radio station is very similar in the way that our community supports its existence. And so I can't express enough how thankful I am for the radio station's existence.
Well, you know, we exist to be able to cover stuff like this and to play fantastic music in the meantime. So
absolutely.
So that's, you know, it's just a big win all the way around. I know that Hawaii Public Radio is on their pledge drive right now, and I would really like to encourage them to do a much better job of covering this terribly important story that is in their backyard. You know, what the events on Mauna Kea are a lot closer to us than is Bosnia or Ukraine or Syria or Sierra Leone or any of these other places.
Yeah, to be fair, I have heard NPR, Hawaii Public Radio, doing some coverage, and they have been talking about it a bit. And they may not be giving it quite the depth of coverage that we'd like to see, but at least they're speaking about it and not ignoring it. And, you know, one of the things that we've discovered here with all the international tourists who are stopping in, it's amazing that we're seeing probably every evening anyway, they do an astrology course. They show the people the stars, a stargazing thing, and they're averaging 500 visitors a day off to the just for this, you know, stargazing thing. So we're seeing a lot of international visitors, and we're hearing that some of the countries who are involved in this TMT thing, there's absolutely no media being shared in their home country. So these there's signs on the side of the road in the various languages from the countries who are involved in the TMT thing, and the people are reading that sign and then coming across the street to talk to us and saying, oh, we didn't realize that there was a problem with this thing, and we haven't heard anything back home. Nobody's talking about it. And so by having the presence that we have here on the side of the mountain, it's really been able to make an impact, and we're sending folks home with the burning question, why is our government doing these types of things to the people here in Hawaii, a place that we love? And that's ultimately been the overwhelming the majority of the opinion of people. You know, they come here and they say we love Hawaii, we love the way it looks and whatnot. And so folks are going home. We have information that we can hand out with all of the petitions and websites that they can get into, and folks have expressed that to us that they will be going home and sharing with their family. And just today, a lady sat down and started writing her letter to Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada. And so we're seeing some direct effects here on the mountain in the outreach program that's developed over the last several weeks. And the boys and the organization and the people who are involved in making this thing happen have really begun to understand how important it is to share the word, let people know that this issue encompasses a lot of other issues.
It really does.
We're talking about Mauna Kea. We're talking about watershed, resource management, and far beyond the sovereignty issue and the sacredness of Mauna Awa Kea. And
sure,
these are issues that affect all of us. And that's one of the overlying themes that's going on here, and that's part of the core message that Checkpoint Aloha has been sharing with the visitors who stop by, is that this thing here represents things that are affecting all of us, you know, and when we see the kind of disregard that big money industry has for local economies, local ecology, resources,
fragile environments, endangered species,
It ultimately affects all of us, you know, and when you contaminate the environment, it makes it so that no one gets to enjoy that environment. And so that message seems to be really well received amongst the people who have stopped by and really begins to make the impact overall of what we're doing here and why we're here in the first place.
Yeah, and then a lot of people, and this was the case with the Super Ferry as well, they just like to see the law followed.
Yes, absolutely. And that's another thing that we're talking about. You know, what we're doing up here, we have all of the laws that kind of are set in place as a guideline for how the resources are managed, especially in conservation zones. And we're sharing with the people the fact of what it is that conservation zone is in Hawaii and how it's supposed to be treated according to the letter of the law, and then the obvious comparisons begin to show through when we see that level of disregard that's happening for the sensitive environments up here on Mauna Kea.
Well, I really appreciate you taking some time to give us a call here at KKCR and let us know what's going on and to speak with some of the principles in this series of actions. And I'd like for you to tell us again about what you've got upcoming in terms of bringing some of the people over here to Kauai to do some public speaking.
Well, I know I keep saying the boys, but there are a lot of wahine involved in this movement up here on the mountain. And so I want to make sure that we acknowledge all of the wahine who have stood by all the kane who are doing the things that they're doing up here on the mountain. And of course, behind every good kane is an even better wahine.
Well, and sometimes in front, yeah, because like...
Sometimes in front, absolutely.
Yeah, like Ka'aloa Prishota or Prishoti.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's been in the trenches on this, in the legal side of things,
yeah,
for six, seven years now.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So what I'm getting at is that a desire has been expressed that some of the boys and girls closely connected to this movement who have been pivotal principals in sharing the organization of what's going on and disseminating their message and taking care of the actions at the legal point. They want to come to Kauai. They've already begun an island or a statewide march, so to call it. Lana Kila and Kauai are on Oahu right now, so sharing the message here in Waianae, and they spoke at a couple of other places. So they'll be coming back to Checkpoint Aloha tomorrow afternoon, and then they're open to being received on Kauai next week. middle to end of next week. So we have a desire to bring three or four of them over, host them. Several families on Kauai have expressed the desire to be involved, and I'll be reaching out to those who have expressed the desire to make this trip happen. And it's really incredible to see the mana and the strength that this core group, there's essentially five of them who have really come together as what I'm recognizing the core group here on the mountain. And the mana that they have, being that they've been here occupying this space, the energy that they have is it's infectious. And it's
really inspiring is what it is.
Extremely inspiring. And I feel like that bringing them to Kauai, helping them go around the various islands to share their mission, to share the truth about what's going on, because there has been an extreme amount of disinformation and misinformation being shared amongst the community. And we see that up here every single day. And so by having the principals come to the various communities around our islands, speak in person about what's going on and what's motivated them to make this movement happen, will be critical for sustaining the movement and putting focus on some of the other issues that are coming to light because of this thing. And we want to let folks know that, you know, we realize here on the mountain that Mauna Kea is not going to be the issue that lasts forever, and that there are many other issues that we need to focus on and shed light upon. And the Mauna Kea is just giving us the ability and the experience to be able to attack those other issues and deal with them and address them and get the principals involved in the other issues to address us, or at least come to the table and accept us as viable key participants in the processes that happen with development, conservation, and preservation. So if anybody's interested in supporting the tour that's coming together quite organically, actually, and helping to support the boys and girls when they come to Kauai next week, I'm happy to receive calls. You can get a hold of me directly at 634-0807 on my cell phone, and I'd be happy to speak to you and get information on and share information on how you can help and what kind of resources are needed to make this tour happen. And so we're working on a really short time frame. We have very limited resources to make this happen, and support from the community, you know, is always a valuable and appreciated thing. And I'm personally putting a lot of effort into making this happen for our community, because I feel that this is something that could be critical for the psyche and for the spirit of our community overall.
Well, I think it's a tremendous educational opportunity, not just here on the island, but really around the world, because some of the points that are being raised here, some of the key blockages, the lack of understanding, the lack of recognition, they go to the core of Western civilization, you know. And these are things that different people around the world for centuries have been trying to, like, get the West to understand. Yep. And here, again, is, like, the universe is infinitely patient, and here's the lesson opportunity again. So
again, absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for being there, and it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. And, you know, for everybody at KKCR, just thank you so much.
You're welcome. And just to let everybody know, I will be home on Friday, and I'll be happy to come down and share my experience with folks, and I'm looking forward to coming back home. It's been a long trip, and it's been a little overwhelming at times, but valued and appreciated trip very much. And I want to thank the folks back home who helped to make this trip for myself happen. You know, I wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't for the support of my family and my friends and Ohana and anybody else I know on the island. So mahalo to you guys, and thanks for tuning in to KKCR. Continue to do so, and we'll see you guys on air in a few days.
All right, mahalo from 9,200 feet. Aloha, aloha no.
Aloha, ahuiho, malama pono.
from the front lines of Mauna Kea. This is Jonathan Jay for KKCR and Hawaii Independent Media.
If you're just joining us, thank you so much for sharing your afternoon with KKCR. I'm Jonathan Jay on Out of the Box. This is a weekly call-in community affairs show, and we can talk about whatever you like, about whatever is going on in the world or your backyard. That's what community radio is for. It's a tremendous resource. It's the ability that we have to use our airwaves to speak to each other at the local level. It's truly a blessing. I want to thank everybody who's ever been a supporter of KKCR. We've got a pledge drive coming up. You have an opportunity again to contribute to help KKCR thrive. And then all the volunteers and staff and people that really help make this island what it is and this station what it is. So thanks so much for that. We're going to take a little musical break. The phone lines are open, 826-7771. We've got about 20 minutes left in the show. I've got great music coming up after this. I think Dove is going to help us evolve. But stick around. Stay tuned. We got 20 more minutes of Out of the Box. So thanks for sharing your afternoon with us on KKCR. That is George Kahumoku Jr., master slack key guitarist. That was The Beauty of Mauna Kea. We've got a caller who's been standing by. Thanks so much for waiting patiently. You are on the air. Can you hear me, caller? Aloha, caller. Go ahead. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Hello. Hi, hey. Jonathan.
There we go. Aloha.
Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Oh, this is Fred. You were. I just really appreciate the last half hour or so of the program. I didn't hear the first part, and I understand you guys were talking about bees and pollination and such.
Yeah, we've been covering the globe, spanning the globe.
And so I see the situation with the bees and with the water and with the amount of chaos, and the pesticides, all of that. It's all part of this onslaught that's happening. And you know, people can't really attack all this stuff at the same time. So people are choosing, you know, to follow their passion. And for me, on one particular thing, I just can't. I can multitask, but I choose to multitask within my one area that I've been working on for 2 years, and that is to help the honeybees, the situation in the world, and also Kauai. Kauai's got a fairly good situation with the honeybees, but it's really, it could change at any moment, especially with all these poison factories out on the west side and the whole island, really, what everyone does. Not everyone, but a lot of people do on their yards and their lawns and the golf courses and all the rest, and with the sewage and the bleaching coral. So, I mean, it's all kind of, this whole thing is just kind of just, some people say that the sixth extinction is happening right now and things are deteriorating, but I don't want to
dwell on that. The only people who say that are the ones who are actually looking at the facts, the body of evidence. They're the only ones who draw that conclusion.
Yeah, so anyway, that's true, and I see it that way because I've lived long enough. I'm in my early 70s, and I've lived long enough.
You are seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, you look good, Fred.
Well, thank you, and I'm one of the people that started KKCR, and I couldn't be more proud of like your program and lots of programs on KKCR, and this is why we started the radio station. And Butch Kekahu was one of my best friends, if not my best friend, when he passed away. And he would be so proud because this is what he wanted to happen here and wanted, you know, to share this work that we have to do on the air and to be supportive of the Hawaiian culture and this what's happening. And, we have a lot of work to do, but, I mean, I feel like the gentleman said up on top of the mountain, you know, he may pass away, but at least he's going to feel like he did a lot, did something to help, you know, instead of just people. A lot of people are so tuned out that just people are disgusted or confused or lost or, you know, or they're just trying to survive and get another meal or get a glass of water. So a lot of people are just not capable or able to do anything. But those of us who are blessed, like yourself and myself and the people up on the mountain, we're doing something, and so what I just want to tell you guys about what we're doing, and what I'm doing is I'm working with a lady named Elizabeth, and we've been working for 2 years to trying to raise the consciousness globally, not just on Kauai, but globally. But we live on Kauai, so this is our home base. Also.
You know, it's usually a good idea to start where you are and work with what you got.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing. We're here. And we got a fairly good bee population here. Now, I didn't hear the early program, and I know I was waiting to hear what Jimmy Trujillo was talking about. I don't know if he was on the program or not, but about the testing of the pesticides, you know, in the bees and in the hives. I don't know where that's at right now.
Yeah, you actually bring up a good point. I think it was the crazy Minnesotan who called in, and his number is, where's his number? Where's his number? I wrote it down. Oh, come on, Jonathan.
Oh, I think I have that somewhere. He's a friend of mine.
Okay. Oh, here it is. It's this is to all people who are bee people, to be or to not to be people. Is
okay.
His number to find out about the glyphosate testing that's going to be happening right now. If you can get involved, and they'll get samples, and it'll be anonymous, but the data will all get aggregated. His number, if you're a beekeeper, or if you just want to get involved, is
212-4178. 4178.
Yeah.
Okay.
212-4178.
I think I have that number, but the other folks may want it, and we need to stay on this issue, just like all these other issues, because obviously we're not going to have any food, or at least
a lot of the food that we love is going to be...
Well, you know, that's what Albert Einstein said, but what does he know?
What does he know? And people are even challenging whether or not he said it, and, you know, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's so obvious, you know, it doesn't matter who said it, but anyway, there's a whole school of thought out there that's trying to debunk that he didn't say it, that somebody else said it.
Well, if you want more information, you can go also to organicconsumers.org.
Yes, yes.
And that's another place you can get information about testing. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Can I tell you a little bit about what we're doing real quick?
Yeah, real quick, because we got another caller standing by.
We're having auditions for the Honeybees Project, which is what I'm involved in, and we're shooting a music video up on the North Shore on this beautiful estate on May 31st, and on May 10th, Sunday, May 10th, between noon and 2 o'clock at the Kapa'a Neighborhood Center, we're having auditions, and we want people over 8 years old who are relatively or at least interested in being artistic and creative and want to dance and sing and be in a video.
So what if I'm 6 or 7?
If you're, we'll make an exception if you have some musical training or some, you know, if you can show us that you want to be in this video and you can do it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Some basic dance steps. We're creating a bee dance, actually.
I've heard that bees dance. They do a little dance to say how far the flowers are away and if they're really good and if it'll make great honey and how to get there. And then mm-hmm. they communicate like that by wagging their little abdomens.
So the phone number to call for more information is 823-6293.
Say that again?
832. Thank you, pardon.
832.
823. No, I think I got that backwards. It is 823. 823.
Oh, now you got me all confused.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at our flyer, and I think we need to change it. It's 823-6293.
All right. Yes. So it's either 823-6293.
No, it is 823. It's a Kapa'a. And then our website is www.ebuzz.org, and that the buzz has 3 Z's in it, so it's BEEBUZZZ.org. And that's May 10th, Sunday, between noon and 2. If it is Mother's Day, and if you can't make that date, please call our number, and we'll set up a separate audition for you.
Okay, and you're recommending 8 or older, but no matter how old you are, if you want to shake your behind.
Yeah. If you can demonstrate to us that you can do that and be part of this, we'll have you in there. We're not going to be excluding anybody unless they're not really ready to be on camera and do this thing.
They're one of the not ready for primetime players.
Yeah.
They all dressed up in B-suits, too, B-suits. I remember when I was a little kid staying up late watching Saturday Night Live. But, hey, we're coming to the top of the hour here, and I think we got one more caller standing by.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Keep up the great work.
Well, thank you, and thanks for your support. Really appreciate that.
Thanks, brother.
Nobody can do this all by themselves. And again, that is bbuzz.org, BEEBUZZZ.org. And a number you can call is 823-6293. I think we've got one more caller who's been patiently standing by. Thanks so much for waiting.
Aloha. It's my pleasure to wait. I'm a huge fan of KKCR. I've lived around the world, and I've seen other radio stations, and you guys just seem to be on point. You're true.
Truth conduit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we get some extra buttons were being pushed there for a second. Go ahead.
No problem.
No, you're good.
Okay. So real quick, I feel like it's so exciting to hear people waking up. I have hope again that we can do this. And, you know, I've been thinking about this Ahu Pua'a project of coming together in this undercurrent of, you know, dare I say the R word.
Which R?
Revolution, you know. There's a feeling that we all have here, like whether we're Hawaiian and we've had the land stolen from us, or you know we've been American Indians and had the land stolen from us. I mean, we've all been stolen from. We're still being our beautiful lands, our beautiful oceans, our ecosystems, our reefs. Everything's being stolen from, and it's like this huge bully on the playground here, and we're all being like, you know, in our own ways, we're letting it happen somehow. And so I tried to really think about this. Like, how can I do this? Like, I feel so, like, a single mom. I feel overwhelmed. I have to pay this rent to this middleman for freedom. You know, this guy out there that's, like, got the 1% handled and, like, everyone else is, like, sucking wind. And then we're told we're victims, right? So what can I do? So I'm looking at this dollar and I'm saying, I should be buying organic food. I should be buying, and if
or
I can't
growing
afford that,
it, yeah.
Because I've heard that I know people can't afford it, you know, or well, they go on assistance or they whatever.
Try grow your organic food.
You got to grow it because otherwise you don't know it. You know, it's like it's not anything we can trust anymore because these little companies are selling out. You know, they've all kind of sold out. I don't even know who I can trust anymore.
Well, you can trust you, can't you?
I can trust me.
That's
and I
a
can
good
trust
place to start.
Yeah, and we've got such a good community on this island for doing this. So I'm picturing us getting together in Ahuapua'a fashion, getting the councils together, getting everyone growing food and acting together, and just doing this without them because they're not, you know, they're the wizard behind the curtain. And, you know,
yeah, but I mean, if you remember the movie, the wizard actually was a really nice guy. He was a little confused and he couldn't keep it all together, but you know, he was real happy because those people are lonely, the 1%. You know, you have all those dollar bills, they don't love you back.
You know what, that's a really good point, and that brings me back to that love, light, compassion other part of this revolution, is that it shouldn't be about us and them anymore. They
well, it really isn't. Some people, you know, democracy in America, you know, they're only looking for 51% solutions, you know. Like 51, that's good enough. Wow.
Yeah,
well, wow.
We really have all different gifts.
You know what 51% is? If you study real hard on a test and you get 51% right?
That's a failure.
That's an F.
Right.
And even, you know, you take it all the way to the 99% against the 1%. What about if we were going for 100% solutions? You know, and the caller just a moment ago talked about different battles and fight. What if we stopped fighting battles and just declared victory and then just move forward in love for everyone?
Right. And also, like it's going to take a certain amount of, like, you know, when you're stepping between, like, you're falling asleep and you're right between that state of awake and sleep.
That's where we are right now.
It's like we're there. And it's like we have to step into the future and look back and see how we've, you know, progressed and do those steps. Like, I know it's time for me to do my gift. I am not into, you know, beekeeping. That's your deal, right? And it's so important that you guys do this bee stuff, and I will come to these events and I'll play music. That's my job. It's my job to write songs.
Well,
so
I want to say
it's so important for us to do our gifts and grow our food and just start doing it instead of being addicted to this matrix that's just killing everything.
Well, you know, my whole life I've been waiting for right now, and I don't have to wait any longer.
Yes. Thank you. That's beautiful.
So if you wanna jump into the Ahupua'a councils, there's an event happening right now in the Kapa'a, at the Kapa'a Library. There's a speaker from Molokai who's going to be sharing his experience. And so that's the Kapa'a Library. It's a free event. And we're getting to the end of this time slot, but we got great music coming up, and I got one more caller. So I want to.
Wait, when is that Kapa'a Library free event happening? Right this second?
Right this second, right now. And it should be going on for like the next 2 hours or so. As soon as I'm done here at the show, I'm going to drive down the coast and get to that meeting.
Thank you for doing your gifts, my brother. I really appreciate you so much. Aloha.
Aloha. And we've got time for one more caller. Aloha, caller. Thank you so much for calling in. You are on Out of the Box.
Aloha. Now that your life is so perfect, I was going to ask you if you heard about the published study from last week about the first GMO human made.
No.
Yeah. So the problems are set. Whatever problems we face, they can just genetically modify us. And
it doesn't sound so good.
It was just published last week in China. They made a GMO
person,
human genome.
Huh.
So
creepy.
All these problems will be okay.
Well, you know, to have faith in technology is kind of to not have faith in yourself.
it's too broad a brush you're painting with. You could, there's good technology and there's really lousy stuff.
Yeah, that's
really
that is stuff. That
and
is exactly
with the human gene.
That is exactly
to make us better.
That is exactly my point. You know, some people think, oh, technology is great. Well, yeah, some of it is and some of it is not. So there's
We're all okay because if we whatever we face. They just published it, and I put it on the Facebook page if anyone wants to look at it.
All right.
We can all get modified to keep up with whatever the latest development needs to be.
Huh.
Good.
Many strategies for success.
Unbelievable, huh?
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
A good way to end the show.
You know, it's not really the end of this show. It's the beginning of a brand new show. Dove is in the house, and he's going to be rocking us out. He's going to be playing...